What I'm going to talk about today, as you can see, is near continuous seasonal canopy temperatures as a proxy for water use. And the two keys are near continuous and seasonal. There's been a whole lot of canopy temperature data used for many years for all sorts of things. But most of the time you see it, it's a couple of diurnals of two representative days or 1 week or what have you, or a midday measurement. In this, we're using canopy temperature measured over an entire season at about a 15-minute time interval. And actually, we're measuring it every minute and using 15-minute averages. So I think with respect to 65 days, 15 minutes becomes near continuous. Let's see. I'm going to press that button. Yeah, so here's kind of where it starts. 10 years of water, cotton yield versus water in Lubbock, Texas, Don Juan era. And you can clearly see that yield is a function of water, but it's clearly a very noisy function. A lot of variability there. And I just put that middle red line is 1,000 pounds and 500 and 1,500. So you can kind of see the variation that we're dealing with. And I like to say, you know, that madness has been defined as doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, and irrigation management is doing the same thing over and over and over and never seeing the same result. So I think that's where we are. So here's kind of the paradigm I'm working under, right, is if we just fit a curve to that, you can see clearly three areas. Over to the right, you have this area where yield is unstable and water use is really inefficient. So everybody knows not to be there. That middle section is where yield is very stable with respect to water, but the water use is really pretty inefficient. You change water and you don't really affect yield very much. That's where farmers like to be, is on the flat part of that curve. Then over to the left is where we're working in the future in water deficient areas, and that's the area where we're on the slope of that curve. And in that area, yield is really unstable, but the water use can be extremely efficient. Now, when you're working up on the flat section, the whole idea there is that we're preventing water stresses. And that's really inefficient to prevent stress, but if you've got plentiful and cheap water, that's a great place to be. Just, you don't even deal with stress, you just prevent it. When we get over here into the future of irrigation, we're going to be down on that slope, and that gets kind of tricky if you do not know where you are on that slope all the time. So you need to know when you move off from that stable, inefficient area and start moving into that unstable but more efficient area, you've got to have a good idea of where you are on the curve. So that's kind of what we're looking at. So I think that in the past, most of our water management, particularly in the arid West, has been focused on irrigation to prevent those stresses. The future stress is going to be unavoidable, and our success is going to be dependent on three things: our ability to identify the stress, then quantify it, and then based on that information to manage that stress. So we're moving from stress prevention to stress management, and that becomes a little more complex. To be successful working on that slope, I think we really need to measure stress directly at the plant, as opposed to inferring it from environmental signals. That's my bias, and I like canopy temperature as a plant measurement because it's something I can do, and I own a bunch of thermometers, right? That thermometry has become much simpler, much cheaper. Back in the day, we used $4,000 infrared thermometers that required power sources and all that. And now the infrared sensor that we actually use is disposable. If it goes bad, you unplug it and throw it away. So the technology's improved. We're using a smart field infrared thermometry system. People have talked about it. We worked with them in developing that. The advantages of that is a real simple installation. Low maintenance, near continuous measurement. You can do it easily on seasonal time frames, and you can collect very high density data. So we collect at 15-minute intervals over the season. Canopy temperature measurement used to be sort of exotic. As I say, now it's simple enough that a plant physiologist can do it. So it's got to be pretty simple for that to be true. This is the study we're looking at. We collected canopy temperature over the season, 65 days, cotton grown under 11 irrigation regimes for 2 years, Lubbock, Texas. This was an experiment designed and executed by Craig Bednarz while he was at Texas Tech. Irrigation was daily, subsurface rates were from 0 to 6 millimeters a day at half millimeter increments. So this is fine water management. Total in season across the 2 years ranged from 200 to 700 millimeters. Yield varied from 500 to 2,500 kilograms. So we got a nice spread of yield and a nice spread of water. And we started canopy temperature when we got it in the field of view. So here's the deal. We end up with about 150,000 point measurements of canopy temperature, which is a lot of data. It's 96 values, 11 irrigation treatments, 65 days, 2 years. So it's a bunch of data coming in. And so we can collect a lot of data, and the smart field guys have it down to a science, and you don't miss any of the data. So if you could collect 150,000, you're probably going to end up with every one of them. The problem is, what do you do with them when you got them? Well, this is kind of what that stuff looks like. I just show you. This is a lot of temperature data. That's 2 years. That's canopy temperature data. Whole lot of it. I'm going to step through a couple. One of the things we do as we're processing it very quickly is we compare it to that magical 28-degree temperature that I like to use. It gives us a starting point for looking at it. When we filter to 28 degrees, we tend to get rid of temperatures that are not related to water stress. And so that eliminates about half of the 150,000 data points really don't contain much information about water stress. So when we filter to 28 degrees, we get a temperature pattern that tells us something about temperature, about water stress, but it also tells us something about metabolic stress. It tells us, yeah, we're working, if it's above that, it's an area where things may not be optimal. So here's the thing. If canopy temperature indeed reflects water use over time, then we should see some relationships between yield and canopy temperature. And people have been showing up for a bit. In this one, we were just going to determine how well the canopy temperature data could account for yield variation. We used all the data. We didn't clean it or filter it or do anything complex with it. We used simple, unsophisticated linear regressions just to see what we would see there. So it was a very simple experiment. Now, it's kind of hard to see maybe some of the graph, but the numbers are what's important. This is yield versus the total water. So that's irrigation plus rainfall over those 2 years for those crops. And what you can see is we got nice linear relationships between water and yield in both years. We did see a difference between the 2 years. 2010 is the lower yielding year, and it had a compressed water regime. And so we get two linear relationships for the 2 years in terms of yield and water applied. We chalk that up to environmental variability. Now we said, let's see what can happen if we start taking our data. So when we look at these water graphs for each water, total water, there's one value associated with each yield. When we start looking at the temperature data, if we use the daytime temperature data particularly, we're down to about 3,500 data points, measurements that are in each of those data points on the x-axis. So there's 3,500 measurements of this cumulative leaf-to-air VPD. That's a whole season of numbers chunked into that. We calculated a leaf-air VPD, which is just basically taking the canopy temperature and using it to calculate the vapor pressure deficit for the plant. So we know that it's the difference between the leaf at this temperature and the saturation of the air at some temperature. So it combines sort of a plant measurement and an environmental measurement. And as you can see, when we did that, what we got again was two very good regressions. The lines are somewhat parallel. The R values are high. They're good, clean lines. But again, it was 2 years produced two relationships. Now, when we took and just said, let's just calculate the mean canopy temperature over that 65 days, And we plot that then against the yield for the 2 years. Now those two relationships collapse into one relationship. What were two separate yield curves now become one. The R values are high, the slopes get close, the intercepts are closer. So we've gone from two relationships to one relationship. Now if we take and just filter that canopy temperature and say, now we're just going to look at the daytime. So it was 8 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. Just filtered it and then averaged all that. You notice the line gets a little closer. The R values go up a little bit and they've wrapped around there. But they're still up 0.94, 0.95. Still good relationship, and again, 2 years, and we can describe that with one. Then if we take the cumulative daytime canopy temperature and look at that as a function of yield, the idea was, if indeed canopy temperature is a reflection of water use at a moment in time, then if we accumulate that over time, it should give us a pretty good indication of the total water through the plant. And you can see that is a pretty nice relationship, very clean. That graph has about 75,000 temperature measurements are going into that graph. So I think part of the trick is by having a whole lot of measurements, we're not so much worried about the quality or how representative any single moment in time is. We're taking that whole seasonal bulk and we get a very good relationship. So again, we've gone from 2 years with two relationships to describe yield when we did it by water applied. And when we use the canopy temperature measurement, we can describe both years with a single function. And as you can see in that, the intercepts and the slopes and the R values are basically the same. So the question was, will canopy temperature collected near continuously over seasonal time frames provide a measure? And so, yeah, apparently yes. Though we're not how universal that might be. But we did do it in 2 years that had very different yields and very different environments across a very large range of water. So we have good work for 2 years in Lubbock. We've looked at that in some of the work that we've done in collaboration with Mick Vange. And in Australia, the relationships held pretty closely for two divergent years on drip irrigation in Australia, a very different production system, and surprisingly for 1 year on a furrow irrigation system. So suggests to me it's probably worth pursuing. So in summary, you know, the plants respond to those changes in temperature. We've known that a long time, and that temperature is very closely related to the plant water status. Because the temperature monitoring is becoming routine, I think we should begin to start measuring plant responses as opposed to inferring. It's not that difficult, and I think the data can be very valuable. I think the continuous measurements are preferable. My rule on this anymore is come early and stay late. Put the equipment out early and leave it until the very end of the season. It's much easier to cut data off of the ends of it than wish you'd gotten it 2 weeks earlier or wish you'd left it 2 weeks later. The interpretation of that canopy temperature data is going to be the challenge, and that's what we're working on now. So thank you for your time, and I'd accept any questions.
Do you have a question?
Read from the graph.
Yeah.
That your low yielding field was at 31 degrees C. The temperature of the canopy, that below what you're saying is at 31 degrees the plant can produce.
Well, now that, yeah, and now that's the seasonal number, right? That's a whole bunch of measurements. Here's the key, and it's hard to see it here, but you were asking that question yesterday. If you look at these stress curves, those are filtered for 28 degrees. If you look at those top two lines, they're hard to see, but there is basically that canopy temperature in those fairly irrigated treatments stayed around 28, below 30 degrees constantly. Never goes above.
Certified that was low.
I will bet you money it does it in Phoenix. We need to set up an experiment to do it. Why would it not if you're using twice as much water?
I don't see 31 degrees in Phoenix,
Arizona. Not air temps, I agree. Anyway.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.